DJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
Cerebral talk and tunes. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM, where we're really good about remembering to send the official intro to the radio station. My name is Leslie, and CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasts on unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was also produced on those same lands, this time around the Kwikwetlem, again, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. Once again, I'm Leslie, and this is Typically Tuesdays. I have a very exciting show for you today. It is kind of an annual show, I guess, except it doesn't happen right on when it's supposed to happen. It is unpredictable and turbulent sometimes, but we let it be like that. My very special guest with me in the studio today is a dear friend and a person with thoughts and feelings, who is excited to be on radio, I believe. Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Brianne. This is my third time here, I believe. I am excited.
How is it your third time so far?
It's doing good. No complaints.
Okay. I love going for the bare minimum here.
We gotta work up to the good stuff.
You're right. And what is the good stuff? What are we talking about today, Brianne?
Probably a lot of different things, but top of my list is my latest reading material. We're gonna talk about some Harlequin romance novels, I believe.
Exciting. Mm-hmm. Truly exciting stuff. Because I have never read a Harlequin romance novel, but I've heard a lot about them, and I think Typically Tuesdays is a very good place to break some stuff down, maybe.
Yeah.
Interrogate biases, perhaps bring valid criticisms, or just in general gab and be silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds about right. For the playlist, as with any Brianne-centric episode, Brianne chose the music. Talk about the music that you chose.
All the music is all Canadian music, all original music, and all music that I love. Yeah.
I love that. I'm so excited.
So am I.
Yeah. I mean, I sure hope so. You are sharing it with the listener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the world.
Oh. Typically Tuesdays is going global. We'll start off with the first track here, which you've got as the East Pointers. Yeah, the band is called the East Pointers with their track called Wintergreen. I almost read that as the Pointer Sisters. I just saw the word the in pointer.
Mm.
Yeah.
No.
Unfortunately, not the Pointer Sisters, because I would be all over that if it was. But yeah. Tell me about Wintergreen.
Wintergreen, very upbeat, kind of fun song. The East Pointers are from PEI, so it's a kind of a fiddle, East Coast music that I'm into, and I just heard about it randomly, and I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm excited, and I hope you are as well, listener. Here we go. This is Wintergreen by the East Pointers here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF. Get into it.
Marcus Roston. I always find myself defending the blackbirds. You know, the ones at your feeders that are a little bigger and louder than the sparrows. The ones that some people prefer to shoo away, like the common grackle. Grackles often arrive in noisy flocks, and maybe people see them as too loud, too reckless, too much, but I welcome them. Of all the birds at my feeder, they may need the food the most. Common grackle populations have dropped by about 50% over the last 50 years. They're now considered a near-threatened species. And grackles aren't the only big black birds that are underappreciated. Take turkey vultures, for example. Some people recoil at the sight of their bald red heads. But vultures provide an irreplaceable service, cleaning up carrion as nature's master recyclers. As a blackbirder, I can't help but defend these birds. I see myself in them. Moving through spaces where I'm watched a little closer, where I have to justify my belonging, where just existing can make others uncomfortable. During Blackbirders Week, let's take a moment to appreciate all the big black birds out there and the important roles they play. For Bird Note, I'm Marcus Rostin.
That was Hope by the Jansen Boys here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Brianne.
Brianne chose that track because it is a Brianne-centric episode here on Typically Tuesdays. If you've been a long-time listener, you know this person is my friend, but she only ever visits me once a year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you can come visit me.
Tell me more about Hope by the Jansen Boys.
The Jansen Boys are from Winnipeg, and I don't remember how I heard about them in the first place, but I do know them now, and I just recently went to a live show of theirs near where I live earlier in the month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You played them last year, I think.
I did.
Yeah.
I don't recall what song I played. It was off of a different album, but I did play one.
How was your experience watching them live?
That was really cool. I don't get to go to a lot of live shows. I hadn't been to the location where the show was. It was new adventures all around.
Yes.
The live show was really good, though.
Do you want to talk really quickly about the specific place and the what seems to, in my opinion, I guess, like, I don't know. I grew up in Poco. I grew up in Port Coquitlam. In my opinion, that feels like a small town. But in fact, this place that you went to, oh, brother, oh boy, ungendered.
Yeah, yeah. I, too, grew up in Poco, and I am quite familiar with how small that area is. The show was in a place called Canoe, like the boat, and it's sort of a suburb of Salmon Arm. Yeah, Canoe's got, what did we look up, 1,000 people, 2,000 people?
Yeah.
It's really small. There was, I think, 4 shops. Or businesses, I suppose, in the entire town. Yeah.
And one restaurant.
And one of those is the restaurant where the show was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Shout out Canoe.
Mm-hmm.
Important place throughout history, I believe, as it was. It's, like, literally a place where, like, folks would gather and, like, hunt and fish. Mm-hmm. But also, shout out to the people living in Canoe right now.
Yeah.
You are the real ones with your one restaurant.
Absolutely, yes.
We are going to be talking a little bit about Brianne's recent readings.
Mm-hmm.
You've always been like a really avid reader. I mean, your mother is a librarian.
Yes, yes. She was a teacher and a librarian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you also... There's no light way of putting this. You are a nerd.
Yes.
Yep. And so you do a lot of reading.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told I read quite fast as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jana and I were reading 2 nights ago together.
Okay.
She read about 10 pages, and I read over 50.
What is she reading?
She's reading just a standard contemporary novel.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
In an hour?
We spent half an hour reading.
Oh, half an hour. You know what? I read even slower than Jana, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Depending on how big the print on the book is.
We did compare, and also, it looks like she may have a little bit more text per page than I do. But
okay.
Overall, about the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Tell me about what you've been reading, specifically for this episode.
Specifically for this episode?
We only have an hour.
Yes. Specifically for this episode, several months ago, I decided I wanted to start reading Harlequin romance novels. Wanted to give it a shot. Always heard about it. And yeah, I wanted to try it out. So I picked up the first one I saw, I guess. It's called Highland Barbarian. You can imagine the cover. I mean, it's... Nobody's shirtless, though, I don't think. No
well,
shirtless.
Well, let's describe the cover.
Okay, so we have a beautiful woman with long, flowing red hair.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm already into it. And then we have...
Brianne's a redhead.
Yeah, to be clear, for those that don't know what I look like, I have red hair too. And then below that, we have presumably the same woman with a nice flower chain in her hair, and she's got on this white dress, and she's being held by this presumably barbarian man.
Can I take a look?
Absolutely, you can take a look.
All right, to be very... Okay, listen, I'm going to describe this man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is clean-shaven.
Yes.
And he's got, like, a coifed of brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
He is wearing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
He's chiseled. He looks like he could star in a Hollywood movie.
Yep.
Yep. Both people are white.
Yes.
Emphasis on the...
Yeah.
For the Highland Barbarian.
Yes, yeah. To be clear, it's Scotland we're talking about when they say the Highland Barbarian. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know when this book was published?
Copyright is 1990.
Oh.
So relatively new.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like... Oh.
Harlequins have been around for decades.
They've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But let's talk about... Well... Before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, you know, let's talk about your experience reading it. How was it?
I was pleasantly surprised. If you don't know, Harlequin novels are written by a variety of authors. It's not just one author. That's just the publication company. So I can only speak on this particular author that I've read. And I really enjoyed it, and I found it no different compared to, say, contemporary romance novels. I thought it followed the same plot lines, the same sort of practices, nothing out of the ordinary. But I, again, can't speak to any other authors published in any other decade, mm-hmm. if they all are like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's also rewind a little bit, because I just remembered.
Yeah.
What... Bro, what's a ungendered, obviously?
Yes.
I was, on a total aside, I was listening to a podcast the other day that was like, on the West Coast, we don't gender our bros or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that...
Yeah.
Yeah. That tracks.
Yeah.
But still, anyways, make it very clear, we are gender inclusive here on Typically Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. So even when I say bro, but if I say cis to a cishet man... I do mean cis.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's a story for another day. but what even... Yeah, let's rewind. What even is a Harlequin novel?
Harlequin novel, I haven't done a whole lot of research, but it's my understanding that it's something particularly marketed towards women, and I think it was particularly marketed towards housewives of the time as...
Of which time?
I'm going to say maybe the 60s when they started. I don't think they're much older than the 60s. I presume it was just something to get away from your daily life. Some interesting thing. And they're generally pretty short reads. They're not big, heavy, thick tomes to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've pulled up some information.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, let's do some fact-checking here. So,
absolutely.
So when we talk about Harlequin novels, you were right earlier, it's really the company, mm-hmm. Which is owned by HarperCollins,
mm-hmm.
And they publish mainly romance and what's called women's fiction, but they also publish other genres as well. Interestingly, here we've got a little bit of CanCon here. This company was actually founded in Winnipeg, according to Wikipedia. Yeah, in 1949, and from the 1960s, it grew to be the largest publisher of romance fiction in the world. It was, however, founded by what appears to be men: Richard, yep. Jack, and Doug. Shout out feminism. And yeah, I do often hear that they have like a little bit of a bad rep.
Yes, that was what I sort of got the feeling from interactions or like older adults talking about these books, that it was something like shameful and you gotta hide those books. You don't want people to know you're reading them.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a great aunt who, that's all she read. She didn't read anything else. Just those.
Great as in, like, an adjective?
No, as in, like...
Relational.
Relationship, yeah. My grandma's sister.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, that was sort of what inspired me to get into them. I'm like, well, if Auntie Dodie really liked them, maybe there's something there. Maybe I should give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given it a good shot, and I have at least 12 to 15 more by different authors, different... There's different genres within the Harlequin novels. Like, this is a particular historical one. They have intrigue. So there's spies, cowboys. You got people in uniform, police, firemen. Yeah.
And when you say that, like, they are all, like, the tropes that fall under, like, the romance women's fiction category? Or are you saying, like, here's a noir novel published by Harlequin?
No, they're all still within the romance for women idea.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're like just like these little sub-genres within that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I guess like the next question would be like, you know, why do people think that it's shameful? Well, I mean, I kind of have an idea of why people tend to feel that it's like this like taboo subject. No, stay away from our women or whatever. Yeah, but like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I think it's like a society thing. Like, I don't know where the idea came from that these books are like really explicit, I guess, is what I thought they would be. And I guess that was just like, no, you don't want to talk about those particular subject matters in polite company, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's not something that you want your children to, like, find with you.
Right. Because I guess, like, you know, I think maybe we've talked, I don't know if we've talked about this specifically on the show. We've definitely explored it in our friendship.
Yeah.
Just in general, because we are human women who exist in the world.
Yeah.
But I do get also, like, mainly the impression that, like, people feel that it's, like, dirty because it's, like, I don't know. It's like, targeted towards women, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about these, like, wild, beautiful, passionate romances with, like...
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, handsome men and beautiful, beautiful women, I guess.
Yeah.
The self-insert.
Yes.
And the fact that sometimes in the novel there are, I wouldn't even call it maybe like explicit scenes, but there's scenes about like intimacy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people are like, kind of like, oh my God, women think about that? Women desire those things?
Yeah.
This is devil worship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, interestingly enough, me going into it thinking that it was going to be a little more steamy than, say, a standard contemporary romance novel, it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
This was just the same. I was like, oh, okay. I quite enjoyed it. I don't know why people wouldn't enjoy this.
It's not pornography,
no,
essentially.
No, it's not.
Hmm.
Not at all.
Is it comparable to, like, let's say, like, maybe, like, a more contemporary, more of the time example of something kind of, like, spicy? Maybe, like, a Bridgerton series? Like, is it comparable?
Maybe, but I still feel it's really tame.
Yeah, and you're a fanfiction connoisseur.
I am.
You've
like, it's
read things.
It's nowhere close to that. Nowhere close to that level of detail. So, yeah. But again, I can only speak on this particular novel. Maybe other authors are a little more detailed than this one. Yeah.
We'll just have to find out. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the Harlequin and romance novels and such after a music break. We have got Tiger Lily. You talk first and then I'll say something. You go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell me about the song.
Okay, the song is called Dry Heave, which is another one that I think I just randomly discovered on Spotify, Instagram, and it's a new song. It was released last year, 2024, and when I was doing the research for putting this playlist together, I found out they're from Vancouver, so.
Exciting. Tiger Lily, here's a question from me, your local community radio host. Is your band name, is it a play on words about accents, specifically of the Asian, East Asian persuasion. I'm asking as an East Asian. Please write in, typically Tuesdays at gmail.com. Brianne, look away from me.